For God will not tolerate sin in the life of his people. He will never allow us to get away with sin.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's message is taken from the life of Gideon, God's mighty warrior. Pastor Brian Grant will be looking at three roadblocks Gideon had to face down in order to overcome his fears and fulfill his calling as the deliverer of his people from the dreaded Midianites. Sometimes roadblocks are the result of the actions of others. Sometimes they may come by the opposition of Satan. But sometimes we may be responsible for our own roadblocks. But regardless of their source, Pastor Grant offers three keys from God's Word to overcoming roadblocks to the spiritual victory God has planned for all his children. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Three Roadblocks to Spiritual Victory.
Mrs. Jones was 85 years old. Although she was having difficulty getting around, she was still so happy in the Lord that every morning she would go on her porch, raise her hands in the air and says, "Praise the Lord." Well, after a while, you know, she had a new neighbor. Jim, he became her neighbor, and he was an atheist, and he was really upset that every morning this praising woman would go up, raise her arms, and shout, "Praise the Lord." And so he was really getting very irritated by that. So every time she said, "Praise the Lord," he shouted back, "There is no God." Well, this went on for months, and then one morning, one cold winter morning, Mrs. Jones went on the front porch and prayed out loud, "Lord, please help me, for I have no more food in the house. Oh, Lord, please send me food." Well, the next morning when she went on the porch, two huge bags of groceries were on the porch. Oh, my goodness, she was so excited. She said, "Praise the Lord, God provided groceries for me." Well, Jim was waiting for that because he was the one who had bought the groceries. So Jim was hiding in the bushes nearby. And as soon as she said, "Praise the Lord, God has provided groceries for me," Jim came from behind the bushes and he says, "Listen, there is no God. I was the one who bought those groceries, not God. I bought those groceries." Mrs. Jones wasn't even flustered. She just kept on going. She says, "Praise the Lord, God provided groceries for me and made the devil pay for them." That may be humorous, but just as God is real, the devil is also real. And although God has chosen every Christian for victory, Satan is determined to prevent us from enjoying the spiritual victory for which we were chosen. As Ephesians chapter 6:12 tells us, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against what? Against principalities, help me out, principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And one of Satan's greatest strategies is to distract us from walking closely with the Lord. Listen, Satan does not want us walking too closely with the Lord. And so whenever you feel like you're not coming to church, whenever you feel like you're not going to pick up your Bible and you're not going to have devotions, you are making Satan feel good, because one of his main strategies is to distract us from walking closely with the Lord, and because he wants stuff to creep into our lives that will serve as a roadblock to spiritual victory. And last week, Brother Chet Carter gave us a powerful message from Judges chapter 6, And as he preached last week, I said, oh my, I've been preparing to preach on Judges chapter 6. And so I thought I wasn't to preach in Judges chapter 6, but when I, as I looked at the scriptures more early during the course of this week, the Lord totally changed what I was to share with you. And I want to share with you this morning a message from back to Judges chapter 6 with a message entitled, Three Roadblocks to Spiritual Victory. Three roadblocks to spiritual victory. Here's the first roadblock. To spiritual victory. Write this down if you're taking notes. Harboring unconfessed sin in our lives. One of the most common and most damaging roadblocks to spiritual victory is when we harbor unconfessed sin in our lives. For God hates sin. And although he will never desert his people, you can see that in the book of Judges chapter 6 that was just read. Listen, God never deserted his people, but he will certainly discipline in his people. He will discipline us for unconfessed sin in our lives. Young people, older folks, make sure you don't miss this. God will judge us if we harbor unconfessed sin in our lives. And although we hear messages like this over and over, God constantly is reminding us, because God knows that despite all we have already heard, there are people, and may I say it, there are individuals right here this morning who are still harboring unconfessed sin. Judges chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Although Israel was God's earthly chosen people, they were experiencing intense suffering. For God will not tolerate sin in the life of his people. He will never allow us to get away with sin. As Charles Spurgeon once said, here's something worthwhile writing down. As Charles Spurgeon once said, God will not permit his children to sin successfully. Amen. He will never allow us to sin successfully. He will always discipline us when we sin, even if not immediately. You know, my dad sometimes delayed punishment. And so sometimes I actually believed I had gotten away. Now, it is true, and since my brother is here, I'm sure sometimes they may have reminded my father that there was something should be coming my way. But I have a feeling that even without their reminder, because, you know, it's amazing, it's only three of us, but we had a way of making sure that each person got what was coming to them. And just in case the parent didn't observe, one of my brothers was always willing to turn me in. And I probably turned them in as well. But listen, you can expect that just because punishment is delayed, that does not mean punishment has been overlooked. God will delay his punishment. But I tell you, sometime when my daddy delayed the punishment was worse than I had intended. You see, sometimes we fool ourselves into believing we got away with our sin. Oh, a lot of Christians believe they got away with sin. But if we ever got away with sin, that means God would have been a liar. Because God says what? Be sure Your sin will find you out. We will never get away with sin. Listen, we may think God is too busy with other bigger sinners than we are, so therefore he hasn't seen our sin. But listen, he can deal with all of us at the same time. Write this down if you would, please. Unconfessed sin will always incur God's discipline and will block our path to spiritual victory. Listen, the sad part about unconfessed sin is not only that discipline is coming, but the sad part is that it will block our path to spiritual victory. God has a big plan. Oh, young person, older person, get this. God has a plan for all of us. But when we harbor unconfessed sin, we fall from what God intended to do in our lives. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 warns us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. If we do the crime, we'd better be prepared to do the time. Amen? Unlike some parents, God does not make idle threats. You ever seen a parent? What if I'm talking to one of these parents who love to make idle threats? Oh, you just wait till you get home. You know what I'm going to do when we get home. Your poor little son, he just smiled because he knows you're just a lot of hot air. Are you one of them parents? A lot of threats, but no action. Parent, that's one of the worst things you can do as a parent. If you ain't going to do nothing, don't threaten. Because after a while, you become a joke. Amen? If you threaten, carry it out. God does not make idle threats. So he allowed the Midianites to oppress Israel so harshly. Wow. Can you imagine? God allows the Israel's enemies to oppress them so harshly that they became impoverished. In other words, they didn't have food to eat. Israel, God's chosen people, had no food to eat, and they were hiding out in dens and in caves. That is something. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. This passage is reminding us how serious God is and how far God will do in judging us. Israel wanted God's help, but had no desire to change, for they kept living in sin. And unless we're willing to change, we may as well stop asking God for forgiveness. God will not forgive us if we have no intention to turn from sin. Oh, I want to say that again. Did you realize that? If all you do is pray and say, God, please forgive me. If you have no intention, no desire to change, God will not forgive you. Let me put 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's how it reads. The kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us what? Oh, help me with that. The kind of sorrow God wants what? Leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Let me just, before I move on, one more scripture. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. And here's what it says. He who covers his sins, what? Will not prosper. But whoever confesses and what? Forsakes them will have mercy. Whoever covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. My friend, God has chosen us for victory. Young person, God has a big plan for you. Don't miss out on God's best for you by allowing unconfessed sin to remain in your life. And this morning, as you're in God's house and the Spirit of God is speaking to you about something in your life, or even right now, pause and say to God, let God know that you're turning and ask Him for His forgiveness. Don't allow unconfessed sin to remain in your life. That's roadblock number one that we want to talk about. But here's a second roadblock I want to talk about this morning. Allowing our fears, to write this down, second roadblock for today, allowing our fears to paralyze us. 5-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen with his mom when she asked him to get a can of tomato soup. Whether you say tomato or tomato, I'm going to say tomato. She asked his mom, her son, to get, he was only 5 years old, and he was to get the tomato soup from the pantry. Johnny was afraid to go, for the pantry was very dark. He's only 5 years old. The pantry was dark, and the pantry is downstairs in the basement in a very secluded spot. So he was really hesitant. He didn't want to go in the dark. He didn't know what was down there. Mommy realized he was afraid, so she said to him, Johnny, you don't have to be afraid, for Jesus will be in there with you. Well, Johnny went hesitantly to the door and he peeked inside. But although mom said Jesus was in there, it was still very dark. So Johnny came up with an idea. Johnny said, Jesus, if you're in there, would you please hand me a can of tomato soup? His fears had made him afraid to go in. Too many Christians are sitting on the bench, for they have allowed their fears to paralyze them. Do you realize there are a lot of Christians on the bench? And it's because, in many instances, it's because of fear. But there's hope for us. Amen. If you're one of those Christians who allows fear to paralyze you, there is good news, because there is hope. For Gideon did not start out as a man of courage. I don't know if you realize this. Brother Chet last week told us about the incredible exploits that Gideon did. But Gideon, when he started out, was afraid to go into the room and get the thing in the dark. Look at verse 11 and 12 of Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizarite. I need to ask Dylan how to pronounce that word. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Well, what the angel found him doing was by Gideon was not doing anything. He was not exhibiting any courage at all, because he was threshing wheat in a wine press. No, since I know most of us are not farmers, and neither am I decided to look up how this whole business of threshing should go. So let me tell you what I found out. To thresh wheat, they'd first beat it to loosen the edible part of the grain from the husk or chaff. So you'd beat it so the wheat and the chaff would be separated, okay? And to separate the wheat from the chaff, they'd go to a place that was slightly windy, because now you have all the wheat and the chaff is together. How are you going to separate the stuff that you want to eat from all of this junk, okay? So what they'd do, they'd go to a place that was slightly windy. They'd throw the both into the air. And guess what would happen? The wind would blow away the chaff, because the chaff was very light, right? The wind would blow away the chaff, and the wheat would fall to the ground. That's a pretty good process, huh? The wind does the work for you. You throw it up, the wind blows away all the stuff you don't want, and all of what you want falls to the ground. But our boy Gideon, he was so afraid, he was threshing wheat indoors in a wine press. Why? Because of the Midianites. I'm so afraid of the Midianites. Even though it's five times harder to thresh wheat in a wine press, I'm going to go in the wine press because I'm scared. I don't mind the extra effort because doing it in here is safer. This version of Gideon hardly seems to line up with what God said in verse 12, isn't it? Because God comes to him and he says, "You mighty man of valor." You see, in the natural, Gideon was just as fearful as most of us, but God knew what he would become as a result of the touch from the Master's hand. Amen. Oh, my friend, it's amazing what can happen in your life and in my life if we respond, if we allow the Spirit of God to touch us and to change us and to transform us. Right now, you're as scared as any scaredy cat. And you may say, "I'm not a person of valor," but I want you to know God can transform us. Are you willing for the Spirit of God to transform you this morning? One of the big roadblocks to victory, one of the reasons why we are not accomplishing more for God, is because we're allowing fear to paralyze us. But thank God, even if we're fearful, God's power can totally transform us when we're submitted to his will. By the way, the term angel of the Lord indicates that this was another of the pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. We talked about that a little bit a few months ago. Some of you might remember. And this was another one, the angel of the Lord. This is another pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Jesus Christ, even before his arrival as a baby in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ himself had come. Notice verse 14. Notice the way the word Lord is written. If you notice the word Lord in your Bible is all capitalized, this is very significant. Whenever you see the L-O-R-D capitalized rather than just L-O-R-D, God is telling you something. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Amen. God himself, Jehovah, had paid a visit to Gideon. But Gideon was still not convinced that he could have much impact. And so in verse 16, God said, "Surely I what will be with you." God's presence makes all the difference. That's why when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he ended up by saying, "And as he commissioned us to go into all the world," he ended by saying, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," because God's presence makes all the difference. My brother and my sister, as we go, as we do mission for God, God is with us. He has promised, he has made a commitment, and he cannot lie. I will be with you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.